Again, if I had a dollar for every time I've adjusted somebody between their shoulder blades, and whether they're right or left-handed, they've got that pain in the right side of their shoulder blade. That is your liver, my friends.
Welcome to Peeling the Onion podcast with Cheryl Passwater and Nancy Campbell, where we have real conversations about what it takes to dive deep into the unique journey of healing.
Health is not a win-lose game. Join us and our amazing guests to explore the layers of physical, mental, and spiritual health. So grab a drink, go for a walk, get cozy, and let's peel the onion. Dr. Debbie Dito, welcome to Peeling the Onion podcast. I'm so excited to have you here.
Oh, I'm excited to be here. Not to mention, I love you, Cheryl. So.
Likewise. Debbie and I met, just a little backstory, at Cellcore Biosciences at ECO. Is that 3 years ago now, maybe?
Probably so. Two or three, yeah.
Yeah, 2 or 3 years ago. And when you meet somebody and you just automatically synergize and you're like, yeah, that was me, that's Debbie, I feel like, and vice versa.
Absolutely.
And really, we getting into the conversation around like fermentation and the microbiome, I think we got the geek squad ether. But also, I think both of us really bonding over mitochondrial health, trauma. A lot of people who I think end up going to ECO anyway are just very interested in toxins and trauma and wanting better patient outcomes overall.
For sure. Whatever the root cause is. And sometimes it's trauma.
Yeah, sometimes it is trauma. And so that's what we're talking about today, because I know something that I've seen in my own personal journey of healing that I've seen with clients is like, and I know other practitioners can relate to this, is what happens if I am not getting better? Or what if X, Y, and Z things maybe aren't working? Or maybe your toxin burden is just so high and so heavy for whatever variety of reasons. I know I personally went through this. What do I do? And so, Debbie, this is the lady to talk to about this. And also, we're going to get a little bit in today about like pain. What do you know, you have chronic pain issues.
Yes.
Maybe it's not what you think it is. I used to think a lot of my pain issues were being a recovering female athlete. And I used to be a runner and play basketball and soccer and all these things. And having had multiple different joint surgeries and things. But yeah, but pain can be on a whole other scale and level. And I know I really learned that when I discovered that I had mold toxicity at a very high level and going through waves of mold and parasites on Lyme. Debbie, tell us more about like how you got into this work. Tell us more about what interested you so much. I know we both have a lot of crossover and our interest in this area. And let's just start there.
So I'm going to make this kind of short because I could talk longer on it. But when I was 12 years old, I herniated a disc in my low back. And so I ended up going to see a chiropractor. And I'm so grateful that chiropractor was one that was a functional medicine doctor way back in the late 70s. And I just thought that everyone that went to a chiropractor, that they changed their diet and they got supplements and they moved and they got adjustments and they worked on their stress. I just thought that's what natural health care was. So that was my interest initially. And then I go off to chiropractic school and you start learning more and more about the body. I started in practice and I've noticed, I've been in practice since 1989, and I've noticed people are changing. Well, I knew the body, the physiology, how the body works wasn't changing. I wasn't all of a sudden forgetting how to work on people. And I started seeing that supplements didn't work as well, adjustments didn't work as well, or as quickly as I thought, all of these kinds of things. So you start searching, you start meeting people. And I was very fortunate to have lots of great mentors in the beginning to find out about it. So yes, I've done a lot of learning about emotions, about trauma, physical, emotional, all of these kinds of things. And but that's how I got started. Like a lot of practitioners, was my own health. And then the people around me, I saw that things were changing and you don't have to, but I think a good practitioner asks the question, why is this there? Why are headaches becoming so much more common? Why would I see a 2 or 3 or 5 year old and they already have chronic pain? They have horrible knots and trigger points. And what should a 2 year old be stressed out about? So you start asking questions. So that's how I got interested in it. Just life.
Yeah. I love that. That why question. Something I ask myself a lot is, who is this person? Mm-hmm. I always come back to like, why is this happening?
Yes. Yes.
And who is this person and their unique body and their unique environment and their unique relationships and their unique, because we're all bio individually different.
Absolutely.
Nothing is one size fits all. That's why a lot of us don't work in one size fits all medicine, because
Because
we don't feel it's sufficient. And so really getting into that nitty gritty is really powerful. And I think it's interesting because I'm a huge fan of chiropractic care, and mostly because it was like my neck is stuck.
Oh, of course, being an athlete for sure. Yeah.
Yeah. Needing to get adjusted and things like that. But it wasn't really until a bit later on, really just in the last few years, where I think I started to really register, wait a minute, this is about the nervous system.
100%. I had that same revelation as I was an early chiropractor. It's because I started to see, I learned other techniques, and every technique works on someone. Even ones, I learned Reiki, I learned acupuncture, I learned all of these things, and they all work, and they all work because we are an energetic being. And if you change the energy and you raise that vibration, healing comes and disease has to fall away.
Yes. I love that. I'm just like letting it sit for a second.
Sorry, I interrupted you, but yes.
No, you're fine.
Yes, I'm in agreement with you.
Yeah. I think that's really powerful. And I think when we look at the nervous system, like we don't realize how easy it is to get dysregulated.
That's a great point. No, you go ahead. You go ahead. I've got a thought, but yes, I like where you're going.
Yeah. And I think a great example is look at the last 4 years. And it's, I know I'm seeing this in my own practice, which is I feel like everybody's nervous systems are fragile and everybody's adrenals are like a little tapped out. And
yeah, for sure.
I know I'm feeling that. And yes. I know others are. And go ahead with what you're going to say.
Now I'm getting off and following your tangent. I can't tell you how many, I guess I can try most, not all, but most of my in-person and all of my virtual patients, they all, who ever heard of, I'm sound sensitive when all of these things, sleep issues. Yeah. It's just so incredibly much. What I was going to say is when you're talking about, you're giving love to the nervous system. I remember when I learned a deeper understanding of, okay, the body gets dysregulated, but why does it stay that way? If we understand a portion of the nervous system, our brain has this wonderful capacity that whatever sensation, whether it's sound, touch, whatever, it compares that sensation that's coming in every second to memory. And it pulls up that file and says, is this appropriate or is this the same old thing? The body stays in a rut, right? Until we give it new information. Now, it doesn't do that because it doesn't like us or that we're supposed to be sick. It's a survival mode. We don't think to breathe. We don't think to blink. We don't think about making digestive enzymes or stomach acid. All of this stuff happens automatically. So that portion of the nervous system, the automatic part, is super, super important. But the same thing, if we are operating out of memory, the last 4 years, I have that constant argument with my boss, my toddler is sick and screaming and I'm not getting any sleep. The body will stay in those patterns until we disrupt them. And that's the wonderful thing about natural care. But I feel like practitioners, we're also teachers. We teach our people what they can do, like you said, to help that nervous system. So thank you for allowing me to vent on that. Thank you.
No, I think you're putting up the really good point, which is our job as practitioners is to educate. Mm-hmm. And if we are truly doing our jobs as practitioners, our clients will hopefully walk away with a greater understanding of those mechanisms and why things work. And and I think too, just to validate anyone out there that's listening, that if you feel like you're being gaslit by the system, you feel like you're just being handed a script pad and you're not being heard, or that you're not really getting educated on why is something happening.
Yeah.
That's a good sign to maybe try something different.
Move on. And even if they don't have, maybe in their practice, they don't have the solutions to offer, but they should be encouraging you, hey, these, find some DIY solutions in addition to the things I'm doing, helping educate and empower people to be their advocate for their health.
Yeah.
I'll fight people about that.
I have a lot of respect though for, I will say, doctors who, even if they don't understand something, they respect doing work in tandem. Yes. Or is that working for you? I don't see a reason to stop doing that. Is it helping? And so I remember one of my, I had finally in New York City, I got like an actual decent GP, and I would come in and she'd be like, so what labs were we running today? We run into Cheryl, but it's so cute because she was open-minded enough that she was like, is that working? What's your health coach saying? What's your functional medicine practitioner saying?
Right.
And we keep in touch to this day, and she'll text me and be like, will you give me some little pearls, like a pearly, and I'll send her something. Mm-hmm. She'll be like, oh my God, I have 20 clients with IBS right now. I had no idea. Boop. And now I know to think differently about that. And she's got little kids. I keep trying to sway her to the functional medicine education portion of her career. We'll get there one day. But I do have a lot of respect for it's, I think it's, we all have different kinds of toolkits.
For sure.
And as I was describing to a client the other day, I was like, look, I have this toolkit. We have all these tools to use from. And unfortunately, on the other side, they are only going to offer you the same two tools.
Right.
Because that's all they have.
Yes.
And here's the thing. When da-da-da is having a flare, we're going to borrow the wrench.
Yeah.
Because the wrench is really helpful for this specific moment in time.
Yes.
And when they're not having a flare, we're just going to use this toolbox. We have all these tools to choose from. These are the things we're going to use. And then if and when something happens, we might choose to borrow the wrench. And there's nothing wrong with that. Time, place, circumstance. Who is this person?
Absolutely.
Why is their body responding a certain way? What are we doing to do this scenario? And that can look different for everybody a little bit.
Yeah, you're absolutely right. Absolutely right. So where do you want to go next?
I think let's talk a little bit about trying to decide between mitochondria or trauma. The big T. Let's talk about trauma. Why not? Trauma. Let's get started.
Let's talk about
why and how does it get stored in the body? Why is this such a big unspoken thing?
So let's talk about different kinds of trauma, because some people, like we're talking about practitioners only having one or two tools and they can be in that rut. A lot of people, when they hear trauma, they think physical trauma. I've been in a car accident, or I've had repetitive injury like you because of your athletics. But any job, I had been in practice only a few years, and I realized I couldn't be telling all of my patients to leave their job because their boss was shit or crap or killing them, or I couldn't have them leave their job because that repetitive work that's stupid that causes them to continue to bend forward over and over. You can't do that. We all in this life are going to have repetitive trauma, period. Let me rephrase that. I don't want to say just whether as our roles at home and our roles at work, we're going to do repetitive movements and that may cause some issue. So there's physical trauma. There's emotional trauma. There's chemical trauma. But regardless of what type we talk about, it's going to create an inflammatory reaction in the body. And we're going to segue this back to mitochondria because mitochondria are in every cell of the body except our red blood cells. There's in some tissues, there's 100,000 or more of these things in every cell, right? So they're important. And I tell patients, if mitochondria were just about energy, none of us would ever be tired. That's not what they do. That's one of their functions. And they only make that function because they need the energy to do all the things they're supposed to do. So one of the things is our mitochondria signal the immune system every time there's this trauma, this irritation, to mount an immune response, an inflammatory response. right? So all of those things, physical, chemical, emotional, create trauma, create inflammation, right? But physical trauma, when we talk about that, yes, we're all going to have it. But what I started seeing in patients is they had these areas, these stubborn chronic pain areas. Where did that come from? Maybe it was the car accident and they stored, when we store that memory in the nervous system, like I talked about earlier, everything goes in. The smells, the sounds, the whatever was going on, what we were thinking. If we got in a car accident, we were thinking, oh gosh, I'm so stupid. I shouldn't have run that red light, or whatever the case may be. That's all stored in there. I'm stupid. I'm less than, right? So this nervous system is so powerful, but when you store chemical, physical, emotional pain, that stays there, right? So that's one thing. The way that the nervous system happens, if we don't update and we don't change things, we stay in that rut. But because any of those irritants create inflammation, that gets our body out of rest and repair and into fight or flight. Also something that the mitochondria are in control of, right? I know you guys have talked about this multiple times. Maybe you've walked people through the cell danger response. That's just a fancy medical way of saying mitochondria and their functions. They, if they alert the immune system and the inflammatory state, we are no longer in factory mode, making mode, rest and repair. We're in this fight. Okay. And so inflammation happens. So that's one thing that we've got going for us. But another thing that doctors have learned, researchers have learned, is that our nervous system is not just in our brain and our spinal cord. We have, through our fascial network, all this connective tissue all throughout our body. We have even a greater nervous system and nerve endings there. So we've found that not only does toxicity, toxins, get stored out in that fascial network, but we have a nervous system out there. So our body parts actually keep score. They retain that memory of whatever that chemical, physical, emotional irritant was. So I don't know if I answered your question, but the reason that's some of the reason that it can be so harmful. And then when we have surgeries, I don't know, have you guys already talked about scars? When we have surgeries, not only do we have a restriction now in that fascial tissue, so that alters how all of that area works, how the cells work, how blood supply works, how nerve supply works, how lymph drainage works in that area. So there, it's a lot. It's a lot, but it's fun.
I love that you just tackled both of those things, mitochondria and trauma, in one fell swoop, and like the perfect little nugget. I think it's interesting from the, like, talking about scars. I didn't really know much about scars until like really the last couple of years, like a deeper level of understanding on scars. Right. And I knew a little bit. So like, I think a great example of this is I had knee surgery when I was 20 years old. I tore three ligaments in my knee. They took out the middle third of the tendon over my kneecap.
Oh, wow.
I used that to replace my ACL. Now they don't do that. They use pig intestine and other options. So I have this big gnarly scar and you can still see. I not only have scar tissue, I have veininess, and you can see where stuff is building up. And I've been having it worked on progressively with acupuncture and other things now. Right. But fast forward about 6 years ago, I had surgery on my midfoot. I had tried everything holistic. Like, I just wasn't getting there. So I had the bone spurs taken out and had it cleaned up. And then they wanted to fuse my foot. And I was like, absolutely not. Are you fusing my, no way.
No.
So I just had it cleaned up, didn't have it fused. And I went into really a hyperdrive. My chiropractor was working on it before and after. The day after surgery, my acupuncturist came over and started
right away.
She regenerated the nerves in my foot with magnets. She did scar work. So you go, you feel that scar and it's really smooth. It doesn't mean that scar is not there. Yes. The scar is still there. Even though you can't feel it, like that memory, that sensation that I still have some pain in my foot, you know, like that's always going to be there. But the difference between even my body mechanics and having that in opposition 100%. To that knee surgery from 1998.
Yeah, completely
night
different.
And day. And it's interesting because I started having a muscle tester and like the thing that kept coming up was scars. Mm-hmm. And scars yes. in relation to organ systems.
Yes.
And all these other bigger factoids. And then when we have to pick things apart, and I'm using myself as an example because I know me and I have these histories mm-hmm. of scars. I've had mm-hmm. a couple knee surgeries, an ear surgery, a foot surgery. That's a lot of surgeries for somebody who's in her early 40s. But also my history with mold and
huge inflammatory and neurotoxins. Yay.
Yes, I know. And issues with glyphosate. And like I have genetic markers for celiac. Luckily, my celiac is not turned on and I don't want it to be turned on. So I stay gluten-free because I am playing with that. When you start to see intersections of things where you would have never put it all together.
Correct. And a lot of doctors, they get overwhelmed because they don't see the connection and they're not seeing the connection because they're focusing on this, no disrespect, but I think how functional medicine has really evolved. And I think one of the reasons you and I were both attracted to CellCore is because functional medicine is one thing, but we want to go deep. And then when you get to foundational medicine, you understand the role of mitochondria. You understand how the nervous system works. You understand that there is a continual intersection between who we are physically, emotionally, spiritually, energetically, all of that stuff. And when you get that, it almost becomes simpler to work with a body. Not to say, I used to always tell patients an analogy. I use a puzzle analogy. Getting well is like a puzzle. Some of us are a 5 to 6 to 10 piece puzzle. It's fairly simple. Any of us that are over 50, over 40, it's not a 5-piece puzzle. But some of us are that 500 or 1,000 piece puzzle. Right.
Yeah.
And there's nothing wrong with that. It's just your path's going to look different. Right. Mm-hmm. But when we understand that foundation, I think we're not afraid of which puzzle we are. But we know we're going to have to peel the layers off. That's another analogy. I love the name of your podcast because I used to use that, the layers. I'm not sure how big your onion is, but let's start peeling layers.
Yeah. I wish I had known. It's funny. I've been on like a 16-year healing journey. And it's interesting because I'm like, man, I wish I had known then what I know now.
Oh,
because I
my word.
Would have been able to heal so much faster. I would have gotten over the hump so much faster. I'm fully convinced. But also for me, I realize, you know, going backwards now, it's, man, how much of my stuff started in childhood from various things. And whether that was the trauma piece or the toxin exposure piece, mm-hmm. or I still suspect that I possibly had Pan's Pandas as a kid and it just went 100%. Totally undiagnosed.
Yeah, we can get parasites from our parents before we're born. So,
yeah, absolutely. And I think we're seeing also the stuff that we're talking about, we're seeing it younger and younger.
My word, yes.
Very concerned for kids. And we just did an episode with Dr. Stephanie Seneff on glyphosate, which everybody can go back and listen to episode 39. We're seeing it more and more kids. One of my newest clients is a 7-year-old with irritable bowel disease with ulcerative colitis. And I'm like, 7-year-olds don't get ulcerative colitis.
They're not supposed to.
They're not supposed to. And we're not setting up kids for successful adulthood.
But then on a happy note, I always tell people, can I heal? When you get cut, does your body heal that? Yes, you can heal. And will you regrow a perfect 10-year-old, 20-year-old body? No, but you can absolutely heal. Of course.
Yeah. Yeah. And it's the number one belief thing. When I do discovery calls that's one of my number one questions that I ask anybody I'm going to work with.
Good.
Do you believe you can heal yourself?
Yeah. Yeah.
Because I'm like, at the end of the day, I don't heal you, you heal you.
Yeah. And I imagine that you're getting more and more people now who say, I don't know, but I hope so, because they're so defeated.
Yeah. Yeah. And everybody's exhausted and we're tired. And our brains have been hijacked. And one of my favorite books, I read it decades ago, is I think it's called How to Rewire Your Brain by Dr. Caroline Leaf. And it's all about our pathways in our brain and how we have to retrain our pathways. And just like we have to retrain the mitochondria and we have to retrain our nervous systems, we have to retrain or just like support so they can bring themselves into alignment and balance, all these different aspects of ourselves. We also have to retrain our brains and our thinking patterns and our self-talk. Yes. Mm-hmm. And our dopamine seeking behaviors and different as a person who was diagnosed with ADHD in like fifth grade when before it was like a buzzword. And when I think I probably would almost venture to say I almost don't even have ADD at this point. But it's reflected and I can see it where, you know, there'll be moments where I'm like, oh, that's a dopamine seeking behavior because you're not getting something you need and some other aspect. So I have had to retrain myself to be like, okay, my dopamine seeking behavior, instead of doing this, I'm going to retrain it. And I'm going to go for a walk or I'm going to do this other positive action in which, because I didn't know better as a kid. And I feel bad for kids. I think, and this is a great example, is always out of every report card, out of your seat. Cheryl's always out of her seat, always talking to everybody, couldn't sit still, touched everything. I'm still like that a little bit as an adult.
What a blessing, though.
But instead of medicating that, it was just like, great. So set me up at a standing desk and allow me to move because, oh yeah, I'm a kinesthetic learner. And so we kind of find these different things. And even to this day, I have lots of little toys and gadgets at my desk. I have a standing desk. Like I put on my essential oils, my vetiver on my brainstem, all these different things to keep myself like, because I've learned to adapt, but I didn't learn how to adapt until I was an adult.
Right.
And I started asking bigger questions.
Absolutely.
And I think I find that whole area so interesting. And I think, again, things that often they get missed. We don't see them. We don't address them. And the things that were done, things happen to us in our childhoods that we didn't choose to take part of. They just happened. And we didn't know they were traumas at the time.
No, but we made decisions about them that affected how we see ourselves.
Yeah. Is that interesting? I was working with a body worker a few years ago. And in my session, she was like, you have this split in your childhood where something happened. I don't actually know what it is to this day, but
you
like
don't have to get well.
Yep. But she's like, something happened and your childhood spirit separated itself to protect itself. Of course. Like, you are who you are today. And you were protecting that creative, beautiful, crazy, wild
wonderful,
disruptive
energy.
In fact, the first time I met you, Debbie, you looked at me and you were like, you're a disruptor. And I was like, but in a good way, disruption can be good. Yeah. And I remember being like, nobody's ever called me that. And oh my God, that's me. But I didn't know it because a disruptor means like you're throwing a wrench in the system. And
thank God for them.
Yeah, we need disruptors. We need people to question. So I love the bigger conversation. And then later on realizing like, wow, the mitochondria and going to functional. I knew about mitochondria from like basic high school biology, but going to functional medicine school and being in like a real mitochondrial class. Yes. And I just remember sitting there with like my jaw on the ground and being like,
it's tremendous.
Oh my God, our mitochondria, they remember everything. They talk to our DNA. Our DNA talks back. I'm obsessed with the microbiome, as many people who listen to this show know.
Of course.
And Debbie knows.
Of course.
But then I found out about the mitobiome and I was like, hold the fort, man.
Yeah.
What is happening? And how much light, the light that we are exposed to affects that mitochondria. And I think about it and I'm like, wow. We all have trauma. We all have these different things that we're dealing with. But I was like, man, if we all just got clean water, clean food that wasn't being sprayed with glyphosate and toxins and pesticides, all this stuff, and we got great sunlight every day and had red
joyful
light in our homes
movement,
at night,
good sleep,
great sex, great relationships. Have some pets, like we would all be thriving. On so many levels, I feel
there are some simple, there are some simple answers. And I don't want as a practitioner to have to just constantly be doling out a supplement or things like that. I want to do things to educate people to make their own good decisions and help their body and thrive. Like you said, all of those things, none of that, all of that is free that you just mentioned. And it's available to every, it should be available to every person. But
I agree. So do you feel like with pain that, how do we know if it's structural versus,
I love you.
How do we know if it's structural versus it's something else that's causing that pain? Because that's a real effect. It's a real thing. So talk to us
absolutely.
About that.
So I've got a little short list that I like to talk to people about, that these are my signs that back pain at least is more than just a spinal problem. First off, it's a sudden onset with no trauma. If I had a dollar for every time I had a patient said, I didn't do anything. I just bent down to pick up a letter, or I pick up a toy off the floor, or I bent over and I was brushing my teeth and I spit into the sink and my back went out. Your back didn't just go. I know it did, but really that's not when it started. Okay. And I could talk for hours about that, but sudden onset with no trauma, that's a sign to me that it's more than just structural. Was there structural stress? Yes, probably. But why? Remember that question. Why did that structural stress occur? That's because I'm not exercising enough. Okay. But why was there underlying inflammation that your nervous system finally said, that's it, that's enough, we're going to lock this up and you are not going to move? That's the question. Okay. So that's one sign. And then the frequency of pain. Those people who, you know what, I go in, I get my rib adjusted, and then later that afternoon, I reach for something and bam, that just popped right out of place. That is more than just a structural problem. Your muscles and tendons and ligaments didn't decide this morning that they're going to be loosey-goosey and they're not going to hold that adjustment. And then where the subluxation keeps happening. Again, if I had a dollar for every time I've adjusted somebody between their shoulder blades, and whether they're right or left-handed, they've got that pain in the right side of their shoulder blade. That is your liver, my friends. I would say 90% at least of the people that I've adjusted in the last 30 years. I graduated in 1989, so I've been doing this a while. 90% of them, that pain in their thoracics is mostly liver congestion.
Oh my gosh. I remember learning that for the first time.
Yes.
A few years ago. And I was like, yes. I was having liver gallbladder issues that I did not know about in fifth grade. And that pain in my shoulder.
Yes.
Fifth grade.
Anybody that's dealing with anxiety and they've had that chest pain and all of that tension, oh my gosh, they think that's all mood. No. And we can talk about the emotional piece involved with each organ here in just a little bit if you want. But the third signal, so the first one was sudden onset with no trauma. The second one is the frequency of pain. It becomes very frequent, or it's always in the same area, and that corresponds to an organ. The third thing is mood issues. If they're having anxiety, depression, this dysregulated nervous system, any of those kinds of things, insomnia is my next one. Any kind of sleep issues, getting to sleep, staying to sleep. Oh, I have a client who says, gosh, I've had insomnia since I was a small child. I'm like, oh my God. And she won't let me dig deeper. Bless her heart. And then the fifth sign is extreme muscular tension. And I see this in all ages, but that person that is so rigid, that is not just a structural problem. And then my last one is, do you have a pulse? Then yeah, part of your pain is not just structural. So it's not just coming from the joints. Because again, inflammation can be more than just that physical trauma, that repetitive movement that we do over and over again.
Yeah.
So those are my signals. Most people, I think, can relate to those kinds of things.
I think so. And if I tell my clients like all the time, how often I'm like, toxins are still stress on the body. Toxins are still can create inflammation. foods that we are sensitive to or reactive to, and we may not be full-blown allergic to, can be causing that stuff. Parasites can be causing that stuff. And the body is a bucket, and that bucket is filling up. And it's, I have a client with who's been dealing with long haul COVID. And I was like, she's, I just got COVID, and now I have long haul COVID. And I was like, but your bucket was already full. You just didn't know it. And then that toxin exposure was the thing that knocked the bucket over. And now you're having X, Y, and Z things happening. And so that addressing, we have to look at the whole picture. Crap food, toxins, stress, trauma. Who are you in your body? What things have you been exposed to? Like, we are all being bombarded with toxins.
You just reminded me of something too. If I were adding another signal to the list, is those of us like you that have that understanding about what the drainage organs do and what happens when they get backed up. So another thing that would signal me is if they also have kidney problems, skin problems, or lung or sinus problems, then I would know that their pain is more than just a structural issue. If they've got any of those signs of chronic inflammation, mast cell activation, anything like that. I had a patient that every time I touched her, she broke out in hives in that spot. I couldn't even do acupressure or a gentle adjustment with an activator instrument without her breaking out in hives. The only thing that didn't was acupuncture. So yes, any of those signs of inflammation. So that's just that you got to, you ideally, if you're seeing someone for structural physical pain, they are taking a good history and they're getting to know, like you said, the entirety of you. Because those things that seem unrelated, oh, right now my sinuses, my allergies are really bad. And you know what? I'm going to go to the chiropractor because my low back's hurting. Those things are related.
Yes. Yes. Yes.
Yes and amen.
Yes and amen. And I, what happens in the gut also does not stay in the gut. And so when we are, Hippocrates was right. All disease begins in the gut. All disease begins in the gut. We are what we eat, digest, absorb, get past the cell membrane, and convert to final form. We have to be looking at the bigger things. And it's funny, when I went to my first practitioner on my own healing journey, and I was dirt poor, I was living in New York City, working as an artist, and I remember her asking me, how's your gut? And I was like, my gut's fine.
Yeah, I poop every day. It's fine. What's wrong?
Yeah, I really didn't know. I did not know any difference. And it wasn't until I started feeling better that the reality of all the gut stuff really came came to the surface. And it was like, oh God, what? Yes. Why am I covered in eczema? Why am I having so much joint pain? Why am I?
Why am I angry? Why am I craving foods that are, I know are bad for me?
Gluten makes me angry. I am not a good human on gluten. That's why I try to stay off of it, because I'm not good. I am an angry.
Yes. It rhymes with itch.
itch you can't scratch.
That's right.
Wow. This is fantastic. And I think the beauty of this is for those of you listening, maybe you're going through your own healing journey. Maybe you're untangling your wires for yourself or a loved one, or support system person for a friend or family member, whatever it is. That the beauty of this is there are people who are trained who can untangle the wires, and that believe in that you're living your individual body and your individual experiences, and that we can help you to untangle it, and that there is hope, and that there's so much that can be, you're not broken. Your body is perfectly and wonderfully made in the eyes of God, Mother Nature, whatever it is, however you see it, and that the body is made to heal, and pain and all these other things, they're symptoms, but the body is giving signals because the body is smart.
Correct. I agree wholeheartedly. So one thing that we haven't talked about yet to some extent, and I know that you were really excited about that, and I don't feel like I've addressed this enough too, was the emotional piece, right?
Yes.
And I think you guys have already addressed this, but if you are having a chronic pain, yes, find somebody that can untangle this. And if they can help you with that emotional piece, great. If not, ask them for a referral, right? Because there's lots of things that can help, right? You don't have to be stuck with that piece either. And here's the neat thing about the nervous system is when you do emotional work, it doesn't take away the memory necessarily. What it does is it rewires that memory, right? Mm-hmm. So that doesn't have to be part of your operating system. Your body is not still reacting to that, right? We can never remove it. We just can negate its effect on your health. Yeah. So, I mean, I think sometimes when people listen to this, they start off and they don't hear us to the end. And they don't realize there is help. None of this is impossible, right? Just even the fact that our body stores the stuff, that our body inflames, all of this is because of how we are fearfully and wonderfully made, right?
Yep.
It's to keep us alive and to keep us adapting and learning and all of these things. So please don't hear us and think, oh my gosh, there's so much, I will never get well.
No,
please don't.
That's not the case at all. No. Well, and it's one piece at a time. And we have to think about all the years that it took for all the things to build up and happen.
Correct.
It takes a little bit of time. There's like the slow food movement. I always tell people, like, this is the slow medicine movement. Like, we want to get you some rapid relief if we can. And it's slow because your body decides the order it heals itself, not you.
Amen. Amen. Amen.
And it is. I know I went through my own journey. And when I was finally getting over the hump, I was in a building fire in New York City about 6 months before the pandemic. And none of the alarms in our building went off. Talk about trauma.
Yeah.
I got smoke inhalation, dragging my neighbor, carrying her down 5 flights of stairs.
Yeah.
And had a resurgence and all that healing of the leaky gut and all that healing from toxins and getting my thyroid in order and stuff that took me years to do. It was like with a flip of a switch. Had to go back and I've had to redo all of that work because that mold exposure and the heavy metals that I got just from breathing in that fire smoke alone.
Activated the inflammatory response. Yeah.
Yep. And not to mention that trauma piece of it. Will I ever get the thought of when I think of that fire, the first thing that always comes to my mind, and this is why I work on this, is my neighbor on fire in the hallway. Like you don't get, that doesn't easily get something that you get out of your mind.
No.
You know? And I bring it up to people because it's like, things that were like, oh God, that's scary. But it's like, no, until you've seen a person on fire in a hallway,
that's a whole different level of,
it's a whole different level. And so, and we can go through spaces and time. And the reason I bring this up is because we can heal our bodies and something may happen. And guess what? You may find yourself in a place where you're healing your body again. That's okay. Doesn't mean that your body didn't heal before or your body won't heal again. It will. It's that, you know, it just may look a little different or you may take a little bit of different work. It's like, I did a lot of work around trauma and I did a lot of work with emotional stuff and things that I felt like were stuck from that moment in time. Maybe doing work around collective energy from the last 4 years. Maybe you feel a little traumatized by the experience that you just walked through. I think we all do, right? We all went through it in our own ways. That would be another great example. And so it's maybe you're a parent, you have a child who has special needs. Maybe you have a job that you hate. Maybe you have a lover that cheated on you. Who knows? Whatever your scenario story thing is, we all live in time and space and things will always happen and things will always be changing. And that doesn't even mean that we won't have to, that's why healing is an ongoing thing the time, right?
It is. Somebody asked me, I was lamenting going through, you know, after I'd gone through my first parasite cleanse and then having to go back through it again to get a new layer of things. And I was lamenting about, oh my gosh, I'm going to do this again. And that practitioner reminded me, yes, but look back. But then on the other hand, too, if you could have, if you could wiggle your nose or snap your fingers and you'd have everything would be taken care of, How would that make you feel? That would make you feel good. But what if you had to do all that work? You would be so overwhelmed. I think that's another reason to give ourselves some grace, is that healing is peeling layers off, because our capacity to do that work, to be comfortable with that work, heck, time and money, all of these things. I love giving people, yes, I love giving people solutions. I love, of course, adjusting and doing soft tissue work on people and all of those things. But it doesn't matter who the patient is. I've got a list, and I think our lists correlate. There's some things that I suggest you do. You should hydrate. We should do whatever it takes to sleep well. Do what we can to ease some tension. Movement. And that's not just movement of your body. It's movement of your bowels, which, Cheryl, you're a champion at getting people to poop right.
I am.
Yeah.
I am a champion at getting people to poop.
Yeah. Joyful nourishment. This is the other thing. Guys, wherever you are at, please don't condemn yourself. If you're going to your mother-in-law's and you're going to eat pasta, and I don't really want to eat pasta, but there's nothing else to eat, do it with joy. Don't add to the trauma.
Yep.
Don't add to the trauma. Do the best you can, right? Hang out with people that I call it joyful connections. And then I tell people to do all of that stuff before we do heavy detox, right? Because otherwise it's just too overwhelming. You have to do this a little bit at a time.
Can we touch on that for a hot second?
Yeah.
The detox part of it, because I don't know about you. I see this sort of this thing happening a lot where people are like, I'm going to go do a detox, or somebody put me on a detox and their bodies aren't ready for a detox. And I think, as a little public service announcement to people listening, look, if you are getting headaches, your skin is breaking out, you feel like you want to stab the person next to you, you are falling apart, you're having a meltdown, you're crying, you feel like you're going to faint, drop, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera.
All of the
your body is not ready to detox.
And that's okay. You have to do that foundational. Honestly, detox can be so much easier if we do, you and I may call it drainage support, but it's the same thing. It's setting that foundation, getting the body ready. And guess who we have to support during that? Our mitochondria. We have to do things. We have to take great care of that gut.
Yeah.
We absolutely have to set the foundation. And I've done detox now in a different way for the last few years. And I consider that physical, emotional, chemical, all of that kind of stuff. And it's been easier. The last few years have been so much easier. The days of me detoxing in the first 3 to 5 days, I had so much brain fog and I couldn't sleep and I was mean and my head hurt so bad I wanted to kill myself. Those days are done. Yeah, those days are done.
Yeah, yes. I know. I remember fasting for something for like 48 hours and being on like the New York City subway. And I was doing like juices and stuff, but I wasn't really doing, I wasn't doing things well. Let's just put it that way. And I remember being on the New York City subway and feeling like I may have actually blacked out. I'm not 100% sure, but like I was sitting there and I'm like trying to get into a Zen space. And I'm just being like, I feel awful. And then like checking out. And it's real. And even for people who, even like you and myself, who are skilled practitioners with a lot of expertise and space in this area, even for myself, I know I have to detox in waves. I can't do long periods of detox. It's too hard on my body. I've had to really, my level of additional drainage support, my level of extra infrared sauna time, my level of castor oil packs, my level of extra sleep, you know, like I have to really make extra time and space when I'm doing a wave of clearing stuff to make sure that I have the support in place that my body needs. And some people need more support than others because our body's methylation, our ability to detox, lots of things come into play. I'm somebody, I don't naturally detox well for a variety of reasons. And so I have to be really mindful of, I'm detoxing a little bit low key all the time. And then when I'm ready to like go and make things flow more, I have to be really diligent in certain things.
Yes. And people get this, they oftentimes we come across people who've got this mindset, if I'm not detoxing, I'm not doing the work. Yes, you are. The prep work is, honestly, it's more important. It's more important than the detox. Because if you don't create that foundation, the next thing cannot happen.
Yep.
It cannot happen. It can't happen. Bully. And I love that idea of waves. I'm going to steal that because I'm trying to help change patients' minds about rest. And I don't just mean physical rest, sleep, right? Giving yourself that break emotionally, starting to listen to your body more. Okay, maybe today I need more water. Today I think I'm not going to eat. Listening to their body. And again, it's that prep work. It's that foundational drainage support, giving your body the tools it needs so then it can do a detox. And I love that idea of doing things in waves. I love it.
Yeah.
I love it.
My another one, big one that I've been doing lately for myself, but also just encouraging others. I'm like, digital detox.
Oh, like, amen.
Digital detox. Go analog. Turn off all your shit. Put on some records. Pull out a puzzle. Go outside. Play some frisbee. Mm-hmm. Like, just do things a little bit differently because we are on our devices right now. Debbie and I are on our devices. And when I get done with this, I'm going to go outside and get a little sun, even if it's just for 10, 15 minutes, stand in the grass, hug a tree, do whatever I need to do.
Pet your dog.
You know, also just the amount of Wi-Fi and that we're being bombarded with and the amounts of so many various things going on. We always have our phones, we call it bright light in our house, bright light on us in our pockets. We're this, we're that.
Yes.
Make your bedroom a sanctuary.
Safe space.
I think a lot of people, we don't sleep well because our phones are by us. We have blue light, like standard light bulbs, LED, all this shit all over in our, but make your bedroom a sacred space. Right. We have a rule in our house. No phones in the bedroom. Good. No phones in the bedroom. They get charged in a different room.
Wow.
They get put in airplane mode.
Yeah.
No phones in bed.
Yeah.
We don't have a TV in our bedroom. We don't have an EMF. We have a standard old EMF free alarm clock. We have red light bulbs and our end table lamps. So we can still read in bed and whatever, but we have created an EMF free space in our bedroom.
That's amazing. That's amazing. But if you can't, it's good, better, best, that same idea in waves.
Yeah.
Do something because I'm sure there's going to be people that are going to listen to this because I'm that person. I'm still working on that because I remember when somebody told me I needed to do all of those things. And honestly, I had a panic attack. I didn't tell them, but my heart was ripped. Of course.
Yeah.
So good, better, best. What are some of the things that you can do now, right? You don't have to wait till you're perfect, but certainly if you're a patient of Cheryl, she can guide you with some of those steps. And even if you can't see yourself getting to that point, every little thing you do to reduce those EMFs can be helpful. You've probably already taught on this. It's amazing what we're doing for ourselves to have all this access to information and learning. And it is staggering on the negative, what we are doing to ourselves. And
it's overwhelming.
That's a rabbit trail. I'm not sure we want to go on right now, but
absolutely. Yeah. You need to watch another webinar. You're supposed to be on social media. You're supposed to be like, you're at this, at this. And it is. And then we're working. Maybe we have kids. Maybe we have families. Maybe we have parents that we're helping support. Maybe we have whatever it is your thing is, right? And it's like, it's always this do more. And we're not meant to be doing this much.
No, we're not. No, we're not. That's not the way I don't believe the way the human was designed. We are meant for times of rest. And it is not a bad word. It is something everyone, if we could train them to give themselves permission to start little bits. I've got to this, I've got to that. I understand. But we can gradually train ourselves and everybody around us to not need that stimulation. Because I think that's part of it as well. Talk about that emotional piece. We have, and I'm sorry if I'm pissing anybody off, but we have trained people that we live with, that we work with, how to treat us. And if we are always the one doing everything, it's going to be a process just like that detox. So there's a lot with that whole digital and detox, but then there's that I've got to, I've got to.
I know. And it, look, and the thing is, people get pissed because they feel like it's maybe judgment, or maybe it just speaks true to them and they don't want to change the thing, or whatever their, right, their reasons and places and time are. But it is real. And I think too, I was a teacher for 20 something years and worked in the art world and was an arts educator and have taught thousands and thousands of kids and adults. And I see this kind of thing happening. And again, it's not a judgment. It's an observation of kids being in activities 5 days a week after school. And it's like, they go to school and have breakfast. They're at school all day. They are in after school activities until 6 o'clock. Then they get taken home. And then it's, if they have homework, dinner, a little wind down time, a bath, whatever. It's like they're going to bed at 9, 9:30, 10, even 11 o'clock. And I'm like, what are, we are stressing these poor kids out, not to mention the parents. Because like, they're like, oh, I got to keep up with all my kids' activities. And I'm like, how many activities do they really need to be in? And when do they get to just be kids? And when do you get to have some downtime as a parent where your kid can go and imaginary play or go run around outside or go whatever the very varying things are. And so we're in a real, I think, crisis because we're now trickling that stuff down to the younger generations on like another level. And I think about back to my childhood, I give my parents mad respect for this one thing, which was, we got, there are three of us, and it was like, you get one act, basically one activity per season or whatever it was. Like, great. Everybody, or it would be like, everybody's in a sport, or like you pick one thing. But it was like, as we got a little bit older, maybe it was two things, but managed.
You know, your grades can't suffer and your relations can't suffer. If you're a little punk at home, we're going to pull you out of that stuff. Yeah. I had the same upbringing.
Yeah. And so I think, there's something to be said about, great, you're going to pick something that is a sport or some kind of exercise, and you're going to pick something else that you want to do. Is it piano? Is it art? Is it this? Is it this? And also that those things being joyful instead of those things being, they become a chore and they become, you know, and I think it's hard. And it's hard for all of us. I struggle with even like the amount, my workload, and then I want to go have fun and play. And I have to be so intentional with my schedule and my timing and everything going on. And I, for years, have been in high demand teaching fermentation and it being my weekends and every Saturday and Sunday or like festivals. And when I realized like, I have to pull back because I just need to be a human with my family life and everything else on the weekends. Game changer to just be like, Saturday is for, do I want to go to yoga? Do I want to go to a spin class? Do I want to sleep in? Do I want to, you know, have sex with my partner and stay in bed all morning? Do I want to this? Do I want to that? Do I want to go to a farm? Do I want whatever it is? Like, just need more space. We need those times. All of us.
We need those times. And honestly, if I could boil it down to, okay, Debbie, just as a chiropractor, what's the one thing that you would say to people? Of course, I want them to take care of their bodies, and if chiropractic can be part of that. But you're absolutely right. You need some time to just be and to play.
Yeah. When was the last time you scheduled a day?
Yeah. And if I can't do a day, then do 2 hours with nobody at home. I don't like being alone. Fine. Go be with a lot of people. But if you can't give yourself a day, what can you do? Right?
Yeah. An unscheduled day. And maybe that's saying, hey, as a family, we're having a do nothing day and we're putting it in the calendar and we're planning it. My wife and I both try to do like a hooky day twice a year where we like, we don't plan it. We just look at each other when like our schedules are like, we just feel like we really need it. And we're like, we're canceling everything and we're having a hooky day. And great. We get lost in the sauce and we do whatever. And it's you went to a movie at 2 o'clock in the afternoon and you went and got some tacos and a margarita and whatever it is.
Yeah. There's like, no rules. Take a nap at 6 o'clock if you want. I might be awake all night. Fine. Be awake all night. You don't have to work tomorrow.
I know. I'm one of those like napper people who, I'm not a great napper. If I am, it's always sitting up some random spot where all of a sudden I fall asleep. It's, if you were like, sure, just go to bed and take a nap, I'm not the strong,
can't, you know, do that.
I'm not, I'm not very good at it. But also if I go to sleep too late, I don't sleep at night. And then my whole schedule gets, and so which, I'm like,
of course,
the nap denier, like after a certain time in the day. Cause I'm like, no, I really won't sleep tonight. And I am a committed 8 to 9 hours a night sleeper.
Good for you. Good for you.
Yeah.
So the idea here is we're not being prescriptive. We're just saying, loosen up a little bit every now
and then. Enjoy life. Enjoy life.
Enjoy this life you've been given.
You get one life.
You can't.
Yeah. If you're just always working and if you're always just working and doing this and doing that and enjoy things. It's just like I said, like I don't eat gluten. And my special exceptions are phenomenal dinners that are like sometimes I get invited to like fancy chef dinners or like whatever. And I'm like, I will make some exceptions for things or tasting things.
Yes.
And like things like weddings or birthdays.
Yes.
Like those are times
those
when
one-offs.
I'm willing to bend.
Yes.
One-offs where I'm willing to bend.
Yes.
Yeah. Because they're experiences and I want to live my life to the fullest.
Yes. And I feel like, Debbie, won't that gluten hurt me? Yeah. If you've got a true gluten sensitivity, you've got celiac, of course, it's creating an inflammation reaction. But there are things we can do to mediate that. Is it worth it? I think you can create more pain and inflammation for the body by how you, your self-talk, what you think and how you feel about those choices. You shouldn't be doing this. Does more harm, in my opinion, than the gluten
itself. Yes, the fear of I'm making a wrong choice can sometimes be more damaging than the actual thing itself. And it took me years to learn that. Years to learn
that.
But you know, one of my favorite quotes is, I lovingly accept my decisions knowing that I'm always free to change.
Dang, I like that too.
And I think it's good. It's a good reflection, I think, to leave us with for today.
I think so.
That I lovingly accept my decisions, knowing that I am always free to change.
Yes, absolutely. This has been fun. Thank you.
Oh my gosh. Thank you. So for everybody listening, you can listen to us. You can follow us on Apple Podcasts, Stitcher, Spotify. You can also stream from our website at www.peelingthedreampodcast.com. I almost couldn't get that one out, but you can stream from there, but also you can access our book club for Peeling the Onion book recs from myself and from Nancy and also from our guests. So Debbie, do you have any favorite books that you would like to recommend?
I do. One that was really critical for me to help recover from some emotional trauma is The Body Keeps Score. And Cheryl, you guys had that on your list. You told me that's a beautiful book. Give yourself grace and give yourself time to go through it. I still am not quite done. I read it in about 10-minute increments because then you got to do the work. You've got to do some stuff, but that's one. And then I love the Louise Hay series. She was really critical in my 20s when I found out that how much my nervous system, my emotions, what I think about, what I focus on, how that can change my body, literally. So any of the Louise Hay books, but particular favorites, you can heal your life, you can heal your body. And when I have patients come in and they've had a sudden onset of low back pain, and I'm like, okay, what's going on? Because sudden onset of low back pain without trauma, if it's not coming from your abdominal organs, from your gut, it probably is something foundational, money trouble, relationship trouble, something like that. And it's amazing how often that woman was right. But then she also gives you affirmations to go along with. And some of her visualization exercises are just amazing to imagine an organ healed and healthy. And it ties in so nicely with functional medicine, foundational medicine work. Yeah, it's beautiful. So those would probably be my favorites. If you're a practitioner and you want to just blow your mind, Cells, Gels, and the Engines of Life.
Yes, I love that book.
We have found out things about the cells that completely throw out information that has been out there for 100 years about anatomy and cell physiology. And it better explains how we really work. That's a great book.
Yeah, Gerald Pollack. We've talked about Gerald Pollack a couple times on this show. I'm always talking about Gerald Pollack. I love that book. And getting into the whole thing about fascia really breaks it. Ooh,
it's so cool. For a while, I taught for 12 years. I taught at a chiropractic college. One of the things I taught was soft tissue technique, and anatomy trains was like my Bible, and looking at fascial work. And when I tell people, hey, your TMJ is on those muscles are on the same fascial plane as your core. What lives in and around your core? Your gut.
Womp womp.
Womp womp. Yeah. It's this connection of this beautiful body that we have. The interconnection is just amazing. So yes. Yeah. Fascia. Yes.
Fascia. Yes. All right. And Debbie, how can our listeners find you?
Oh, okay. My website is pathtoheal.net. They can reach out there. They can email me, fill out contact information. And that's the easiest way to get a hold of me.
Excellent. Thank you for sharing that. And thank you for being here. So for everybody listening, you can heal yourself.
Yes.
Everything is a journey, is experience. Embrace it, live in it, be in it. Don't be gaslit by the system. And you know that anything healing can come to you. And it just takes time. And it takes, I think, just an open mind is, I think, what we can leave you with today.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And we love you, and we hope for the very best for you.
Absolutely. On that note, keep peeling the onion, and we'll see you guys on our next episode. Have a good day. Thanks for joining us for another episode of Peeling the Onion Podcast. If we've inspired you to take the next step in your healing journey, please leave us a review on iTunes, Spotify, or Stitcher.
You can also find us on Instagram and online at peelingtheonionpodcast.com. Music by Greg DiGiazzo and podcast production by Nova Media. Until next time,
keep peeling the onion.